Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us here on this, here in State College, a snowy day today. Kevin Hurst still ill.
Under the weather.
We prefer ill. It really gives you a sense that maybe not all is well.
Okay, maybe. But it kind of encompasses everything.
Yes, Kevin is ill. We have Sarah Bartlett here today. Well, we're going to have a little fun here today as well, because we're going to be talking with several people on the show today, including Ashley Chase from WJAC-TV in Johnstown. She's going to join us. Thomas Bendit from BTPowerhouse.com, talking about Big Ten basketball. Jeff Rice, 24/7 Sports. We have a lot going on. Also, I was sent an email and brought up a very good point that I had not discussed yet on the show, and I want to get to it here off the top. It's about the NCAA Power Five conferences and the cost of attendance, and also dealing with stipends that was brought up. And it was actually a very good question. I appreciate very much that they brought up. This is from Kevin Hertzler. And Kevin said, just wondering if you've already talked about this, but I heard on Friday that the Power Five conferences voted for athletic scholarships to not be taken away for poor athletic performance. So my question is, do you think this will, in the end, will this be the end of over-signing scholarships? Thanks, Kevin Hertzler. It should be, Kevin, a step in that direction, and I think you draw a very good conclusion out of this. If you're going to, if you can't be holding this over the head of individual student athletes, where every year you are renewing scholarships and then, of course, not renewing it, where they feel their scholarship's in jeopardy, that's a big plus. And I like that. Now, the question is, I think these are for 4 years. And I think where you might still have the oversigning is whether or not guys will sign and whether or not guys will take their fifth year or not, or whether they'll be allowed to take their fifth year. And that's going to be interesting, because you have 5 years to play four. Okay, so 5 years to play four. Now, you heard James Franklin, for example, saying, look, he would like to see guys get their degrees in 3.5 years. There are pluses and minuses to that. The plus is you have your degree in 3.5 years. And because of summer school, you're able to go through and build up your credits. And it does open the door, because you are going to summer school. And here at Penn State, that's 2 6-week sessions that go May into June, and then like the last day or so of June, mostly July into the first couple of weeks of August. You can build up credits. In fact, here at Penn State, you can build up 9 credits during the course of summer. So you're talking in 3 summers, you can build up 27 credits. That puts you well on your way at that point, where just in 3 summers, you've built up a quarter of what you need. Maybe 20% of what you need. But you can do that in 3 summers. And actually, if you're going 3.5 years, you're going to start out in the summer to begin with. So you might be able to actually build up over 30 credits just in summer work. So the plus is you get your degree in 3.5 years. The minus for the coach is, and this is for the coach, is that I have my degree, maybe I should move on. For example, Deion Barnes has his degree. He opted for the NFL draft. Donovan Smith has his degree. He opted for the NFL draft. Jesse James does not. He's been here for, actually, he's been here for 3 full years now because he was an early entry. And actually, he's been here since the winter of 2012. But that's, so for a coach, that is the roll of the dice. But that's on the athlete side of it. What I have never liked, and this is a very good point that, Kevin brings up, is the part about poor athletic performance. I recruited you, and it's not your fault unless you're lazy, and of course the way you're pushing the program, you're not going to be lazy. It's not my fault that you didn't live up to expectations, because it is a leap from high school to college. It's not your fault that, quote, and I hate using this word, but it's the best way to phrase it. It's not your fault that I made a mistake in recruiting. You should have the full benefits of the university at that point. Get your degree. Be a part of the football program, one of the 85 scholarships. Basketball program, same thing, where you're just not interchangeable parts. It is not as prevalent in football as in basketball. But in basketball, what's really interesting is the last week of March and the first 2 weeks of April. It is like looking at the free agent waiver wire. The number of guys that transfer in basketball, it's an unbelievably long list. We talk about the number of people that opt to go into the NFL draft. We talk about an even bigger number that opt to go into the NBA draft. But that pales in comparison by the number of individuals who actually decide to transfer from their school. Maryland's a great example. Maryland this year in basketball, 5 guys transferred out. Now, they had some guys transfer in, plus a strong recruiting class led by Mello Trimble, who's one of the top freshmen in the country, not just the Big Ten, but one of the top freshmen in the country. And you didn't really know what Maryland was going to get out of this. Well, it turns out they're a really good basketball team, but they had 5 guys transfer out. Look how Iowa State's been built. Iowa State under Fred Hoiberg has been built with a number of transfers over the last 4 years. One of them being a guy named Chris Babb, who played his first 2 years here at Penn State and then transferred there. And then Chris last year played half a season with the NBA Celtics. So, yeah, I think it's great that these are 4-year athletic scholarships. Do I think it'll be the end of oversigning? Kevin, there will be people in the SEC that will figure a way around it. And you and I both know it. They always do. But then again, they don't have a culture problem. Thomas Bendit's going to join us today from btpowerhouse.com. We're going to talk about Big Ten basketball. Ashley Chase will talk about hockey with her. And Penn State football and basketball talk today with Jeff Rice from 24/7 Sports. Tomorrow's show will be from Lansing, Michigan. Penn State getting ready to take on Michigan State after that tough loss to Purdue on Saturday. Our number here, if you'd like to join in, love to hear from you, is 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. You're wondering, where is Kevin? Kevin, actually, we've said he's ill. In reality, he is putting together the budget for the Boston Olympic bid in 2024. I think bidding for the Olympics is absurd. It's absurd. I mean, why do you want to do it? Why do you want to bid for the Olympic Games? Why? Hey, sure, it's great. Hey, we have it in our country, we have it in our city. You know how much money it costs? Now, check this out. The city of Glendale, Arizona, says on the Super Bowl they're going to lose money. Now, part of the reason is a lot of the activities you have are in either in Phoenix or Scottsdale or Tempe, and they're not actually taking place in Glendale, even though the game is in Glendale. That's the interesting part. The game is that the city, the mayor of Glendale says they will lose money on this thing. And I think part of that is that when you look at it, a lot of the activities aren't actually in Glendale, and I don't know what they have in terms of hotel structure and so forth. My cousin Jim lives there, but it's been a while since I've been out there. The stadium's great. They got the Fiesta Bowl there, things like that. But I don't know how much, you know, and of course they got the Cardinals there all the time. So that part's really good. But the activities surrounding the game itself are mostly in Phoenix, Scottsdale. Like when Penn State played in the Fiesta Bowl, and of course when Penn State played in the Fiesta Bowl, it was over at Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, where Arizona State is. But the, Penn State would stay at Mountain Shadows in Scottsdale. That's where they stayed. So they weren't even staying in Tempe. Now, I've stayed in Tempe before. Where the, I think the last time I did basketball out at Wells Fargo Arena, I've done four games at Wells Fargo Arena where Arizona State plays. We actually did stay in Tempe at the Angels baseball, minor league baseball complex. Stayed there, the Angels Spring Training Complex. So, Kevin, very good question. Appreciate it very much. Our number 800-795-9565. And looking forward to some fun on today's show to talk about a wide variety of things, including the Flyers and the Penguins, who will be playing against one another tonight. We'll talk to Ashley Chase about that in the next half hour. Then some Big Ten basketball news. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock half hour. And then Penn State football and basketball news with Jeff Rice at 24/7 Sports in the final half hour today. We, of course, are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr is, now Sarah says, under the weather. I say ill. Kevin Herr is ill. Stop laughing, Sarah. You act like I'm indicating something else besides physical illness.
No, well, all I'm saying is that ill, like I said, just kind of maybe encompasses all attributes.
He's ill. Chelsea leads Liverpool, by the way, 1-0, 42nd minute. A little Premier League for you today. And Vic Fangio, guy that built a great reputation as the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, is not going to take the Redskins defensive coordinator's job. He's going to take the Bears defensive coordinator's job. Wow. And Andy Dalton's replacing Aaron Rodgers in the Pro Bowl. It's a slight drop off. Ashley Chase, WJC-TV on hockey coming up next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
KOK Sunrise, 6 to 8:30.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Tuesday, snowing here. Kevin Herr, ill. We don't know if we need to put together a fund to save him. We don't know. I mean, Sarah, what should we do?
I think just some good thoughts and vibes. Now, he says he's going to be back tomorrow, but who knows?
Sounds more like a threat. All right. All right, yes. We'll bring in Ashley Chase from WJAC-TV. We know Kevin is ill. Maybe we should make a phone call and cue up the violins.
Yeah, I'll send some violin-related tweets or something a trip later.
When you watch the Pens, Ashley, outside of the Minnesota game, and Minnesota has not been playing well the last 3 weeks, why haven't, with the firepower they have, been able to score more?
It's interesting. I was kind of taking a look at that over the last day or so. For one, they just have not played well against the New York teams. They have not played well against the Islanders and Rangers in a long time, specifically the Rangers. But, you know, the way the Isles have played this year, the Pens just haven't been able to hang with them. I don't know why that is, but I can say that I think that Patrick Hornquist being out of the lineup has definitely impacted the Pens. He's a guy that they need in the top six, and you know, with him down, kind of plugging in some of those new bodies, and you know, having to bump guys up, and then making the trade to get you know David Perron. It's just the lack of consistency in the lineup, I think, has impacted their ability to score, and you know, they still score a lot. You know, it's not a you know, bad hockey team by any means, but they're just not playing their best as of late.
How well do you think Fleury has played?
I do think that he's played well. You know, you kind of look at his numbers for the year, and he's it was kind of funny when he wasn't named an All-Star, I was A, not surprised, but B, like, his numbers were better than those who were there. He is obviously now an All-Star, you know, filling in for Jimmy Howard, who's out, but you know, I think that he's been consistent for the Pens. He's been what they needed. Two goals a game is enough when you've got a team that's scoring as much as the Pens have been. You know, that being said, he's going to have some bad games. He didn't look great against the Rangers on Sunday, but, you know, when Rob Scuderi scores on you, no goalie wants that, but especially one that's on the same team. So, Pens aren't doing themselves any favors with Scuderi still parked in front of the net and not playing well.
The story of Penn State hockey at the moment, and then, you know, Michigan will close the gap once they play because Penn State's played more games, but at the moment, Penn State's in first place in the Big Ten in their third season of Division I existence. What kind of story are we witnessing right now with the program moving?
Well, I think it's an exciting time for them. I think... You know, I think Guy Gadowski said it best on Saturday night after the game that they don't look at those standings. I mean, I know it's hard to ignore, but like he says, we don't look at that because I don't think we are the best team in the Big Ten. And I don't disagree with him despite the standings, but they're a team that's playing at a level that puts them at the top, and that's important. You know, they're going to have, you know, as every team does, they're going to have a weekend where it just doesn't go the way you think it will, or you're going to have a series against Minnesota that's going to be probably the, you know, toughest of the conference schedule remaining. You know, those are the weekends that are going to be you know, up in the air for Penn State, where they're going to have to go and show everybody else in the country, do they belong at the top of the Big Ten? And I think that's, you know, I think that's exciting for Penn State hockey, because that's an opportunity, and that's what you want. And your third year of the program, it's second year in the Big Ten, I think that's what you want, is to be at a place where you can say, we're going to compete for a league championship. You know, we want to be in the NCAA tournament. To be able to do that at this time is absolutely exciting for that team.
And they'll have Northern Michigan coming up out of conference this weekend at home, as a matter of fact, playing with Friday night and then playing Saturday afternoon. All right, the basketball story here. Obviously, Saturday was awfully tough for Penn State on a couple of different fronts. Your thoughts on all of that?
And that was a tough game to watch. I was there for the second half of that game because I was coming over from women's hockey,
right.
Who, by the way, swept the weekend against RIT and is second place in the CHA.
They have quiet. You know what? Josh Brandwin's team has quietly had itself a really good season, and maybe we need to shout a little bit more about that.
Yeah, they really have been doing well. I'm going to have a short piece on them tonight on the news, as well as the men's team. But it's been interesting to watch kind of the dynamic of the winter sports changing at Penn State, I think.
Right.
You know, since we're talking hockey and basketball, I mean, to have all three teams, you know, kind of coming into 2015 very relevant, very competitive, I think is pretty cool to see that from you know, men's basketball and men's women's hockey. That game against Purdue was, that second half was just kind of tough to watch in those final minutes. I mean, Purdue got hot from three, and you know, when any team does that, it's tough to stop. But I mean, I was listening to post game as I was, you know, heading out from basketball to try and get over to the men's game for hockey. But I was listening to the post game with you talking, you know, with the assistant coaches there, and you guys were absolutely right. They drew up the end of that game to be exactly what they wanted, you know, and goodness, to knock down that three in the corner, DJ Newbill flying at your face. Some shots just happen.
Right, yeah, know? Exactly.
You know, and that's a tough pill to swallow. I think you think probably the Packers are probably feeling that way. You know,
right.
Some things just happen.
You know, and what's interesting is that Matt Painter said, look, in overtime, using his, I'm paraphrasing here, he said, we didn't do anything special, different, play better, whatever. He says, you could see in their eyes that they were deflated. Yeah, happens.
Yeah, I mean, completely. That, as soon as that went to overtime, the entire mood of the building changed.
Yeah.
I think everyone at that point felt like it was over. I don't think DJ Newbill felt like it was over. I think he put, you know, I think he scored all the points in overtime, at least field goal-wise.
Right.
But Purdue just took all that momentum and, you know, just drove the ball hard and closed that out. I mean, it didn't even look like anybody was defending in overtime. Purdue was coming at me. I mean, it was just, they were going to get there, and they were going to win that game. I mean, they were as determined as anybody after hitting that three.
Sure, no question. NBC has the Super Bowl. What are you allowed, you know, what's the plan at WJAC with this? Is anybody going to go because the door is open, but it's also in Arizona? So what can and can't you do with this?
Some interesting things that we're taking a look at, our company that owns our station has a large station in Seattle, so they're going to be there, and our company will actually be able to have reports from the Super Bowl, just from reporters that are going to be based there for the week. So that'll be helpful for us to be able to have some fresh content every day of just the build up to the game. You know, I think it'll be kind of neat to try and showcase some of the things that, you know, connect our area with the Super Bowl. So we've got a couple stories like that lined up for leading up to the Super Bowl. NBC's coverage is like all day on Sunday. I think it starts at noon. So we actually can't do anything pregame show-wise on Super Bowl Sunday itself, but Pat Welter and I are working on putting some things together that we can do, kind of either the Friday or Saturday before the Super Bowl. Obviously there's some Penn State ties with the Seahawks, and there's another interesting local tie with the Super Bowl. So I'm excited to kind of share that story. And, Pat loves the NFL as much as anything and is just living this up. So he's pretty excited that we have the Super Bowl, and I am as well. I'm looking to do some things for social media during the Super Bowl, encouraging fans who are watching on WJAC to kind of tweet along with me during the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about everything from the game to the commercials, the halftime show, and I love it. So I'm going to show some of that stuff on the air that night as well. So it's a lot of fun. It should be a fun night.
It's always fun talking with you. Thanks a lot for carving out some time for us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And
That's Ashley Chase, WJAC-TV, out of Johnstown. Next half hour, we're going to have Thomas Bendit from BTPowerhouse.com to talk about Big Ten basketball. Jeff Rice, 24/7 sports on Penn State football and basketball in the final half hour. We'll come back with more in a moment. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
This is an announcement for all people who want to take a risk-free challenge to whiten their teeth in 5 minutes. By calling now, you can whiten your teeth in 5 minutes using clinically proven power swabs. This risk-free challenge is for people whose smile has been yellowed by coffee, tea, red wine, or smoking. The power swabs 5-minute challenge is available by responding to this advertisement. If lines are busy, try again. Because the power swabs 5-minute challenge is exclusive, it's not available in drugstores. Power Swabs was formulated by Dr. Martin Ginniger and whitens teeth with a patented tooth detergent and whitening agent. It's so effective, we challenge you to try it for 5 minutes to see how white your smile could be. Get it risk-free. Dial 1-800-668-0496. That's 1-800-668-0496. Transform your smile into a wow, you look great smile. Dial 1-800-668-0496. That's 1-800-668-0496.
This is Tanya Diddy with Lenape Solar. Did you know that we have quickly become your local energy savings specialists? In the last 3 years, we've established an annual savings of $1.8 million for local residents, businesses, and municipalities. Now we want to double that savings and do it in one of the areas that has the highest cost, heating and cooling our homes and businesses with Mitsubishi Heating and Cooling Systems. Do you want to start saving today? It's easy. Just call Lenape Solar at 570-286-1496 for complete details.
Don't pay stupid tax. Listen to the Dave Ramsey Show.
I would never borrow on a 401k. Here's why. Number one, the 4% that you're paying yourself means you've unplugged a good mutual fund or series of mutual funds that last year you would have earned 20% on. Number two, when you leave the company, your loan is considered an early withdrawal. And if you do not pay it off within 60 days, you get hit with a 10% penalty plus your tax rate.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays at 1 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
When bad weather strikes, don't go anywhere until you hear our latest Winternet list of school closings, cancellations, postponements, business updates, and road conditions all winter long, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You'll get up-to-the-minute information twice an hour all through the storm, sponsored by Garvey's Carpet, Vinyl, and Tile on Route 11 Northumberland, on Route 15 in Lewisburg, and East 7th Street in Bloomsburg. Also keep up with the latest Winternet postings online at WKOK.com.
Kevin Herr, white leisure suit, dance floor, making moves. The room clears. They circle the floor because Kevin Herr works his magic. Kevin's ill today. Again, there are claims he'll be in tomorrow. A sighting of some sort. I'm sure during the commercial breaks tomorrow, I'll get a blow-by-blow, play-by-play of all the problems that he's experienced the last couple of days, which puts me into the category of being a paid hostage. All right, so Coming up next half hour, we'll talk Big Ten basketball from btpowerhouse.com. Then Jeff Rice 24/7 Sports. It's going to be Thomas Bendit's going to join us in the next half hour. Then Jeff Rice in the final half hour, talk about Penn State football and basketball. The signature event is going to take place in Rec Hall this year for Penn State football. And it's going to be, they're going to open the doors at 6, start at 7, take about 45, 60 minutes. Right around there with James Franklin, they'll go through, including tape and so forth, of everything at Rec Hall. And then the event's free, by the way. So if you'd like to go and see James Franklin talk about the new recruits, you can do that. It's coming up in 15 days. 15 days. Got about 20, I think 20 verbals right now. They still have 5 more if they wish to give out. Doesn't mean they'll give all of them out. They get to be picky. At this point, if you end up a little short, you just can't take somebody to take somebody. I think that's important. You have to; it has to be the right fit. Senior Bowl going on this week as well. I think if you're going to be in an all-star game, it's the one to be in. Donovan Smith, though, checked in at 341 pounds. Now, he's 6'5". Now, they said he was going to be about 335, but he checked in at 341. And right now they say there's a possibility he could be a 4th-round pick. If he doesn't combine well, he could be a 6th-round pick. And he's got to be able to get himself in the spot where he moves better. Mike Hall's at this. Adrian Amos is at this. Deion Barnes is at this. I bet Deion Barnes does well in this thing. So I think that's the all-star game to be in. And, of course, right now recruiting going on. We'll talk about that with Jeff Rice at 24/7 Sports coming up in the final half hour of the show, because that first Wednesday in February 4th, that is the signing date this year. And they're already deep into what they're doing on 16 as well. It's amazing how you have to stay ahead on this thing all the time. And it used to be staying ahead was, okay, you got a good line on it, you're ready to go with it. But there, I mean, now you get verbals way ahead. Ronnie Crist of the Harrisburg Patriot News was really the first one to really open the door on the recruiting end of this thing. He did so. I want to say back in the 70s. He was really the first one that delved into the recruiting end of it. And Ronnie was a tremendous reporter. Great guy. Very steady. Universally respected by everybody. Ronnie did a heck of a job. So, NFL notes, Gary Kubiak, head coach of the Broncos. There's still one coaching job open. That's the Atlanta Falcons. It appears that Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, will be the guy to get that job. But he's not going to do anything until after the Super Bowl he is over with. Did you see the women's basketball coach? Okay, girls basketball coach. And team won 161-2. It's a girls high school coach. Won 161-2. Guy in Southern California from Arroyo Valley High School. Name is Michael Anderson. Suspended for 2 games after his victory last week against Bloomington High. Anderson said he wasn't trying to run up the score or embarrass the opposition. His team had won the 4 previous games by at least 70 points, and Bloomington had already lost by 91 in the game. He says, "The game just got away from me," Anderson told the San Bernardino Sun on Friday. "I didn't play any starters in the second half. I didn't expect them to be that bad. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody." He says if he had to do it again, he would have only played the reserves after the first quarter. He says, "Or in fact, I just wouldn't have played the game at all." Bloomington head coach Dale Chung says Arroyo Valley used a full court press for the entire first half and led 104-1 at halftime. 104-1. Now, Dale Chung said, quote, now he's the coach of Bloomington, the team that lost. People should not feel sorry for my team. They should feel sorry for his team, which isn't learning the game the right way. Anderson already has served a one-game suspension, a game that his team won 80-19. He'll return after sitting out one more. So the game he sat out, they won 80-19. Chung went on to say about Anderson, quote, he is a great X's and O's coach. Ethically, not so much. He knows what he did was wrong. Anderson told the paper that he did not broadcast the score on maxpreps.com and did not tell it to any newspapers. The paper reported that a photo of the scoreboard did, however, appear on the team's Facebook page. Well, look, there's a certain way to play. If you want to press, and they play four quarters, you want to play, press in the first quarter and so forth and build your lead, and it's obvious, becomes obvious to everybody in the building, you just back off at that point. You take your starters out, you play a half-court game, you know, run some clock, whatever. Sportsmanship still means something. You know darn well you're not going to get back in the game. Obviously, the team that they beat didn't have a basket in the game. They won 161-2. They led 104-1 at halftime, which means a free throw, which means to get to 161-2, it was only a free throw in the second half. It also means they outscored them 57-1 in the second half. Like, you go the first quarter, you back off at that point. You put your reserves in, the whole thing. And just go from there. Class means something. I mean, what are you accomplishing at 161-2? What are you accomplishing? What? I mean, he says he pressed the entire half. Why? If the score is, I don't know, if they led 104-1 at the end of the first half, we're going to guess they had at least 40 in the quarter, if not 50 in the quarter. Well, at that point, you look around and say, okay, we're done here. All right, we'll play half court, whatever, put it in reserves, whatever I have to do. And just don't do it. Ask the other coach, do you want a running clock? Whatever, I'm sorry it turned out this way. You got to be smart about what you're doing. You can't be so locked in and obsessed. And I don't want to get into this, well, you have to coach your team. Obviously, Dale Chung doesn't have anybody to compete with that. That's just it. You know, it's not just embarrassing for his team. It's embarrassing for the team that scored 161 points. If the team with 161, I'd be
your
embarrassed.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A jury selection process expected to take months has begun in Centennial, Colorado, for the man accused of killing 12 and injuring 70 in a movie theater in Aurora 2.5 years ago. CBS's Lee Frank is there.
Sitting at the defense table, James Holmes almost looks like